We're going to talk to you this morning about a brief overview of the CERT Resilience Management Model, which we've mentioned in some of the other presentations earlier this morning. We're going to take a little bit of a dive to the extent that we can in the half hour that we have into the model, talk a little bit about the background and history of the model, some of the foundational elements, the organization of the model, and how you might go about using the model. And so CERT Resilience Management Model is it's a framework for managing and improving operational resilience. We've kind of defined those terms a little bit in some of the earlier presentations this morning. I think the quote at the bottom kind of sums up, like, when you ask, so what is this model, right? It's a superset of the things that an organization could do to be more resilient. I think it's important to note, too, like, that CERT is not the only player here in the resilience space. There are lots of organizations that have tools and methods and things in this area, and these things are all complementary. So, for example, our colleagues at MITRE do some very good work in the engineering of resilient systems and their cyber resiliency engineering framework, and particularly in that particular framework focused on engineering and activities at the early life cycle of development. So there are complementary approaches out there. This is not the only game in town, but it's a body of work that we bring to the space, and we'll hope to describe it to you this morning. So what exactly is CERT RMM? It guides the implementation and management of operational resilience activities and enables and promotes this idea of convergence between business continuity, information security, and IT operations. And it can apply to a wide variety of organizations of different sizes. And so how was CERT RMM developed? You see a number of inputs there that went into the development of the model. The two highlighted in red, I think, are the ones that are the key ones that I'll mention here. It incorporates and was informed by a large number of practices in the BCDR, IT, and security spaces, over 800 practices. And we'll talk a bit later about a crosswalk that we have available as one of the supporting materials for the model. And there was a lot of piloting done with private and government organizations. And we're going to hear in some of the later talks this afternoon some particular case studies related to work that we've done based on this body of work with some of our customers. And so what drove the development of CERT RMM, right? The two items highlighted in red, I think, are the key takeaways from this slide. So the siloed nature of operational risk activities. We defined operational risk in some of the earlier presentations this morning, and really this need for a holistic view of managing risk across an enterprise or an organization. And when different elements in the organization are siloed or not operating under a common picture, one of the objectives of the model is to try and give you a structure to bring those activities together. And then this idea of lack of common language or taxonomy, and are people speaking about operational risks and issues around resilience in the same language in the organization? We find that in a lot of organizations that becomes a significant barrier. And so the model itself is a collection of guidelines and practices that talks really about managing operational risks through defined processes, and then working on measuring and institutionalizing these processes throughout the organization. And I think the important point here is that the model focuses on what, not how. So it's not prescriptive in that sense, in the sense of like a standard or a specification. And it's organized into 26 domains that we call process areas in the model. And so here's a listing of all of the process areas in the model. And you can see they cover a wide variety of things. There's things that jump out at you that are specifically in the security domain, access management. Asset definition and management, of course, is key. We've talked about in prior talks the different types of assets, people, information, technology, and facilities, understanding which of those assets are critical to specific business processes. Covers financial management, human resource management, knowledge and information management, identity management, a whole a wide breadth of coverage in the 26 process areas. So the foundational elements really focus on management of operational risks, the idea of convergence, bringing activities around operational risk management and together activities in security, business continuity, bringing those activities together. And then this idea of process institutionalization, of implementing these things in a managed, defined way such that you can make them sticky within the organization. And so so we've talked about risks, and there's a traditional definition of risk on the top half of the slide. So risk is some event that results in a consequence under a condition of uncertainty. And there are a number of activities on the bottom portion of the slide that are things that you would undertake to deal with managing these risks. And so as we move into the model, we'll be looking to kind of operationalize those things that were in the bottom of the slide. And so we have four types of operational risks that we deal with: actions of people, systems and technology failures, failed internal processes, and external events. And they kind of make up that the reddish circle, operational risk management, which is a subset of enterprise risk management. And Nader gave some discussion of this morning in his opening presentation. This operational resilience, we call it emerges, or it's an emergent property that comes forth from the effective management of the operational risks. And so what are some hurdles or barriers to effective operational risk management? There's a number of them listed there. The one that we've highlighted here as kind of a key takeaway, the insufficient success metrics, right? So we know that measurements drive behavior. And if the organization either has incomplete or not well-defined metrics, or have metrics that are causing a certain behavior that, you know, contributes to siloing of activities and not the convergence that we talked about, that can be an inhibitor to moving these forward. So let's move on to this concept of convergence. We've mentioned it briefly a couple of times. And so really, what we're talking about here is harmonizing and bringing together all of the operational risk management activities that have similar objectives and outcomes, and working on those in a coordinated, cohesive way within the organization. And there's a number of examples of some of these activities there: security planning, communications, financial management, IT operations. And so so an organization has a mission. The mission is supported by business processes. Those processes operate based on having access to critical assets. And there are a number of areas associated with the operations, so the orange row there. And the convergence is really about harmonizing all of those activities under a common set of objectives, as you see in the kind of the dashed red circle there at the middle of the slide. And really, the primary benefit here, we're trying to ensure that similar activities are bound by the same risk drivers, so that we have this. We talked about common language and taxonomy, right? As the organization, when we're talking about risk, is everybody talking about it and measuring it in the same way? And some other points on here as well about redundant activities, collaboration between activities that have similar objectives, et cetera. And so what we're really after is this integrated approach. We have all the disjointed activities, trying to bring those together such that they all coalesce around that core of operational resilience. You know, we're looking at it graphically in a different way, rather than each area, you know, trying to fend for themselves in the rainstorm. We've got everybody under the common umbrella in the converged environment. barriers, we call it enemies here of convergence. There are a number of them. Traditional funding models is certainly on the list. One part of the organization may have funding to undertake a particular project that requires support from IT, for example. IT doesn't have the corresponding funding to support that. Misuse of codes of practice, treating codes of practice basically as checklists or compliance-only activities without coordinating that across the organization or understanding the costs of that compliance. And so the organizational context, you see CertRMM applying at the bottom of the slide to these we call the resiliency processes, which act on the critical assets. So in the green row, we have the people, information, technology, the supply chain, the facilities, the critical assets that support the business processes and help you to prepare for the red X, the disruptive activity that takes out or makes unavailable a critical asset. And so I think we've seen this slide before. The protection and sustainment of the critical asset, we're trying to strike a balance between both of these. So keeping the asset, protecting it from exposure to disruption, and then keeping it productive during an adverse event. And, of course, with the detection of the adverse event being key to that as well. And so this idea of institutionalization, it's this combination of what are the good things that you should be doing, and how do you make those sticky? How do we institutionalize or ensure that these things will continue to happen in a coordinated way in the organization? So there's the process dimension to this and the capability dimension to this. We have the definition there, making something become a part of the fabric, if you will, of the particular organization. And ensuring that these activities persist over time. I think the quote at the bottom, I think, sums this up pretty nicely. So instead of asking how well am I doing today, the appropriate question here is, am I doing what it takes to sustain this high performance going forward? When we talk about this concept of institutionalization. Then there's the life cycle view. So across the top, we see we see a development life cycle with planning, design, and development through deployment, operation, and retirement. The resilience engineering activities apply kind of at that early phase of the life cycle. The protection and sustainment sort of in the mid through end life cycle. So all of these concepts in resilience management, you know, when taken together, both the engineering side, the protection and sustainment activities, they combine to give you coverage across the full life cycle. And of course, this is not a add-on or something that you do kind of as an afterthought. You know, ideally, you're thinking about resilience up at the early life cycle in the engineering stage when you can kind of build this in. Build this into your process, build this into your product. And so lastly, we'll mention here this the code of practice crosswalk. We touched on this earlier in the slide that showed how RMM came to be developed. So this is one example. We have these crosswalks are available for both the commercial codes of practice, and there's also a crosswalk available against government codes of practice around CertRMM. And so here's just here's a list of a number of the standards that are crosswalked in this particular document. And again, these are available for download. So what this does is it takes each of the process areas and breaks down through each of the specific practices in the model and then walks across all of these codes of practice and shows you specifically where there are points of intersection and alternatively where there are gaps. So if you're following a particular code of practice, you can see where there are gaps where that particular code of practice does not cover some topic that's in the model or vice versa. And so let's talk about how the model's organized. We saw a brief preview of it there in the snapshot from the code of practice crosswalk. So we said there are 26 process areas. So we have the process area banner across the top. The yellow column down the side of the slide is sort of the structure of how the verbiage and the text for the process area is arranged. Each process area is arranged into what we call specific goals and specific practices. Those are down the middle column of the slide. Under the specific practices, then there are sub-practices and typical work products. When you go to appraise or evaluate how you're doing against the model, the color coding comes into effect. So the specific goals are what we call required components. Specific practices are things you would expect to find or expected components. And the material in yellow, the sub-practices and the typical work products are informative. And then likewise, we have the generic goals and practices, which are sort of overarching factors that deal with the institutionalization piece of this. So you have the what to do in the specific practices, the institutionalization in the generic goals and practices. The specific practices support the goal achievement, suggest a way to meet the goal. The generic goals describe how you might go about achieving repeatable and lasting performance. So we'll take an example out of a list of process areas. So we have service continuity. This is actually an example page from that process area. So there's the purpose, there are introductory notes, a list of the specific goals and practices associated with that process area. Now we're into a specific goal and specific practice. So we're down at this level, and then the informative material, the typical work products, and the sub-practices. So one might expect to find a prioritized list of the high-value organizational assets as a typical work product, for example, and results of a risk assessment are artifacts that one might expect to see based on the informative content there in the typical work products if you're following the guidance in the model for the service continuity process area. So how do we use the model? So it follows kind of a cyclical pattern, starting with recognizing some objective, determining scope. We'll show in a few slides some examples of application of the model in different areas. 26 process areas sounds like a lot. It is. There is a lot of material in the model. The book weighs in at close to 1,000 pages. However, this idea of determining scope is very important. In almost all work that we do with the model, with organizations, we do not address the whole model in one setting. The idea is that the model is modular, that you can take these process areas and even parts of process areas and combine them together to address a particular issue that you want to focus on. So maybe you're looking at three or four process areas at a time. And it helps you to identify gaps, do some analysis around those, and then implement changes and evaluate the effectiveness of those changes. So for example, folks in the deal in the federal government information systems space would be familiar with FISMA, the Federal Information Systems Management Act. The slide here is showing sort of a high-level scope of particular process areas that are highlighted in the purple color that would be applicable to a project around FISMA compliance. Management of cloud computing, a different set of process areas might be applicable. In particular, external dependencies and environmental control would be ones you'd want to take a look at. Insider threat, of course, is an issue that's on everyone's mind. Our colleagues here on another team at CERT do extensive work in the insider threat space. Here's a selection of process areas that would be focused on evaluating risks around insider threat and managing those from a resilience standpoint. We mentioned that the model covers as well business continuity, disaster recovery. Here you see the highlighted areas that would be applicable in that case. So I think we're getting the idea that about the modular nature of the model and how it can be scoped and adapted to apply to a number of different situations. So in summary, some key features about CERT RMM. So we have this convergence of key operational risk management activities, particularly in security, business continuity, disaster recovery, and IT operations. Provides a guide for implementation management of these operational resilience activities. Focuses on what and not how. It's not a prescriptive model. It's not a standard or a specification in that sense. Provides some ongoing or organizing principles and conventions to select and deploy your codes of practice and standards. Helps you to bring together activities that you might be doing to comply with a number of different codes and standards and understand how those relate to resilience objectives and serves as a guide for improvement in areas where your current capability is perhaps not up to where you would like to see it. Some additional features enables measurements of effectiveness. We have quite a body of work, a growing body of work, around the measurement of these. My colleague Julia Allen really heads up that body of work. There are a number of papers published that kind of extend the principles that are described in the model into specifically how we handle measurement, and that's an ongoing research area for us here. Enables institutionalization as another important one. We talked about the idea of not asking how well you're doing today, but do you have the things in place to enable high performance going forward and make that sticky? Various ways to use the model. It can be used as a reference to kind of understand the scope of what operational resilience means in your organization. It can be used as a baseline to perform an appraisal against the model and then measure improvement going forward. It can be used to organize your activities around these different codes of practice to help develop a common language or taxonomy in discussing these issues. And with that, we will leave some time here for question and answer. So I'll turn it back to Shane if we had any questions come in.
First question for Jim from Carl asking, there seems to be a growing awareness that the way people and organizations handle and resolve conflict is an important factor for resilience. Is maturity in the broad art of conflict resolution captured in CERT RMM?
So thanks for the question, Carl. So the question's about conflict resolution and you know, its relationship to maturity and how that's captured in CERT RMM. So I don't know that we deal specifically in the model with issues like resolution of interpersonal conflicts or things like that. We do, I believe, in the model cover how we deal with organizational conflicts and this idea of different parts of an organization that are responsible for different aspects of the overall resilience as viewed in the breadth of coverage in those process areas, and even the three primary areas, BCDR, security, and IT operations, trying to address siloing in those areas, which I'd consider sort of an organizational conflict. So I think we do have guidance and processes in the model that would help an organization to deal with conflict kind of at the organizational level.
Okay, great. Next question from Sean asking, what is the relationship between resilience management and enterprise risk management or operational risk management? How do they complement each other or how do they differ?
Okay, so thanks for that question, Sean. So I think that's a key concept really to understanding what we're trying to achieve here with the model. So I think it was about towards the beginning of the presentation, we had the two bubbles, one inside of the other. So enterprise risk management is sort of the overarching management of all possible types of risks that might impact an organization, including things like market risk, financial risk, all sorts of issues that might impact an organization. So operational risk management we define as a subset of enterprise risk management, focusing specifically on actions of people, failed internal processes, external events, and systems and technology failures. Kind of those four categories make up the core definition of operational risk that we consider here. And then the notion of resilience and the organization becoming more resilient is what we call a emergent property, or the resilience of the organization emerges from effective management of those four categories of operational risk. And those operational risks impact on all of the 26 process areas that are in the model. And so that's really that's fundamentally what we're trying to achieve here, and that's kind of how those concepts are related. I think Nader this morning gave the medical analogy, right, or the health analogy, right? You can't go and buy health, but good health emerges from doing a number of things correctly over an extended period of time. Same thing applies with resilience, and resilience emerges in an organization by doing certain good things over an extended period of time.
Okay, next from John would like to know, does the RMM manual give recommended areas such as demonstrated in the presentation, i.e. FSMA?
Yes, so in very good question, thank you. In the model itself, it's in the back of the model, I believe they're in the appendices, there are what we call targeted improvement roadmaps in a number of areas, one of which deals with FSMA compliance, one of which deals with cloud computing. Some of the examples that we had in the presentation, it goes into more detail on selecting particular modules and process areas out of the model that would be applicable to undertaking improvements or trying to take a baseline assessment in those areas.
Okay. Last one from Stacy, wanting to know, what is next for the CERT RMM product?
So that's a good question. I think we'll hear some more about that as the day goes on. We talk about how we have derived other products and applied the model in various scenarios. But we are continuing our work in the measurement space. We are continuing basically maintenance updates to the current. The current model is version 1.1. That's what's published in the book. We are continuing maintenance on that. We also have some development underway on a lighter weight derivative of the RMM body of work, specifically dealing with cybersecurity. So we had mentioned at the outset that this is a broad-based model that covers business continuity, disaster recovery, IT, and security. And we want to we're working on a derivative dealing specifically in the cybersecurity area.
Perfect, Jim. Great job. Thanks for your presentation.